I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody. It's fun to have the chambers almost full. Next on the agenda is... Get it up there. A roll call. We have everybody here but Ken. Kaler, he called in and was not able to make it tonight because he's still over in Olympia, I believe, on that side. So he will not be here tonight. Next is citizen input. That's for any citizens that would like to address the council as a whole. And you're allowed up to 5 minutes. When you come to the mic after I acknowledge you, give your name and address. Just raise your hands and acknowledge if you're interested. Okay, we'll close citizen input then. Okay, do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
Move.
Stan first.
Second.
Charles second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes then. Do I hear a motion for the consent agenda?
Make that motion. Move.
Okay, Ken Johnson first. Do we have a second?
Second.
Gina, okay, a second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, then the consent agenda passes. Next is 3. There it is. 4.1, consideration agreement with Sand Hill Crane Festival. Dixie, you wanted to address this?
I wanted to address you. One, I've heard concerns that people believe that the Crane Festival would like to see the city take it over and run it, and I certainly want to squash those rumors. We are not interested in giving up what we do. Where our problem lies, and it's the same problem that held us back last year and almost caused us not to have a Crane Festival. The person who arranged for our speakers for the first 12 years of the festival worked for U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Not only did he work on company time or on their time to accomplish this, but he also donated hundreds of hours over the years. We have found that to find someone who can donate that amount of time to a project is extremely difficult. We struggled with it last year. Fortunately, the city jumped in and helped us out. We are struggling with it again this year. We will accomplish it, but we still do not have our brochure put together. And this is getting into the latter part of January. And we have become very aware that this is going to be a continuing problem. And rather than see it totally dumped back in the city's lap to keep it going next year, I wanted to request that as the description for the job for the new Parks and Rec person, that it be considered as part of their job to, if not, and I'm not even sure we want them to do it as much as maybe help with it, and maybe we find some ways that several people could do it, but they could be the center correlation person to make sure that everybody's doing what they need to do to help us oversee that portion of it. I'm going to be looking at other groups that maybe could actually help us do some of the contacting. I think that that's an excellent way for the chamber to become back involved, and I think that's a way for ACDC to become involved, to be a part of this. But we're going to need someone who is capable to make sure that the different components are being met. And so that's what I'm requesting.
Okay.
Any questions?
We talked about this once already. Didn't we already approve? Council approve?
The council asked that what Mrs. Pope proposed to the council be put in an agreement form.
That's what it was.
So
okay.
That it's all above board, and we have that as option number one in your package.
that's adoption one?
Yes.
Okay, now we have two of them here. Is there something, Dixie, in the two different ones, since the second one was brought up, that could, maybe you could speak to that for us?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
I think that was with money involved also. Wasn't it $1,000? Where is it at? I know I read it.
Okay. With the idea that we would go ahead and help pay for that, obviously, I think is what we're saying, isn't it?
Yes, it's out there. Just $1,000.
Okay. That we would contribute $1,000 to that fund, to help pay for that.
So are we still?
We're paying $1,000 now for portions of this, and so we would direct that money back into your funds to help be part of.
Council, have questions? So basically, we're doing the same thing as we discussed last time. You're willing to throw $1,000 into help? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure I understand.
Yeah, it's basically doing what Marcy and Eamon did for us. Hopefully starting on it like the 1st of October and having it done before Christmas would be the goal.
Oh, okay.
So that we've got a brochure that's going to print and, you know, by middle of, before Christmas, let's say, mm-hmm. instead of right now, we don't have a brochure put together to go to print.
Okay,
and we didn't last year, and we struggled with this even when Fish and Wildlife helped us. But we know there's no help from Fish and Wildlife. We're going to be down to one person again after the end of this month, I understand, at Fish and Wildlife here in Othello. And Gordon is not in a position to do it. And part of Gordon's problem is he holds the same position that Randy did, but he didn't have the contacts and the people. And I'm not convinced he even has the skill to do what we really need to be talking about.
Okay, without putting words in your mouth, so correct me.
Okay.
Basically, you would like to see happen again what happened last year, and your committee will put $1,000 in to help offset some of the expenses.
Correct.
Okay. Questions from council?
It seems to me we pretty well agreed on option one.
The option one was the mailing list.
Yeah, the mailing list.
And that's already been agreed to. You're correct.
That's pretty much what they did last year. Is that right?
Mailing list was done in the prior by the irrigation district. And I understand that's already in the works. I believe the disc is here, and it's for the mailing list.
Yeah, we have the program and the software. The disc and the software. Put that into motion, which is what we did last year. The mailing list?
No, you didn't do the mailing list last year as such. That's about the mailing list, maintaining the mailing list.
Right.
That was done over at the irrigation district last year.
Okay.
And this year we requested that you do that earlier on, and that has already been approved and it's already done, basically. Well, you have all the stuff for it.
We're ready to.
You're ready to start, but that had already been approved by the council.
And the agreement hadn't been signed, but we're ready to go.
Oh, right. And then option two is in addition to that.
Right, and those were things that were sent in a separate letter that you have a copy
right.
of that added items and offered the $1,000 payment from the San Hill Crane Festival.
It says in the option two to pay the $1,000, but I hear it being said that number one, it would go into number one.
That's what the mayor was trying to clarify with Dixie, to see if they would give, the San Hill Crane Festival would give $1,000 to do option one, which is what we did last year, minus the exact mailing list.
Well, I'm just a little bit confused, but this right here is making it a little bit easier for me. So, okay, so you're looking for, on top of we already agreed, prepare curriculum write-ups, contact speakers, organize tours, and you'll help with $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Question, Mayor.
Yeah.
Could you help us with on organized tours? What does that mean?
Organizing tours is talking to the different people that are, you not only arrange for them to speak, but you request that some of them lead a tour for the Crane Festival because we send out tours.
It would not include the physical part of the tours?
No, no, it's arranging for those leaders.
So are you looking for people to be working on the weekend also? Is that what you're saying, or?
No.
No.
This is all done prior to. This is all done to set up the whole program that's used then in March, but it's already completed, hopefully, in December.
The only catch to this is that with a new park and rec person, starting in a new community, more or less going to be a new community for them. This one project would just get inhaled in one shot. They'd have to be real careful with that on the first year. I mean, to say that it couldn't be a helpful hand as it progresses, I mean, I think it could be, but I think the first year, if you're expecting much out of it, it would be a disappointment because they're going to have to jump in and get their feet wet and understand our community before they try and sell our community a little more.
This isn't really contacting anybody that you have to sell the community to, in their sense.
I don't mean it that way.
Yeah.
I mean in time.
Right.
Time and effort. Because they're going to have to be established in their position and what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. But we're 6 to 8 weeks out from interviews and hiring. We have advertised. So I would propose, if the council agrees, this, that we go the same route we did last year, because that person's familiar with most everything there.
That's an excellent, yes. Oh, Marcy did a fantastic job.
So the option two wouldn't take effect until next year?
Yes, option two is not for this year.
Oh,
that, okay. I'm sorry.
All right,
there we go.
I'm okay. Sorry, I thought that was understood. No, option one with the mailing list was a necessity this year because we lost that ability this year. Option two, we will get it done. We're going to be late with it like we were last year, and we realize now that it's too big a project. We struggled with it last year. We are struggling with it this year, but we will accomplish it this year. I guarantee it. There will be a Crane Festival this year, and we will accomplish what we need to do. Mm-hmm. But what we're looking at is for next year, if we can have someone who can help do what Marcy did, which is contacting speakers and contacting them and asking them if they're willing to speak on Saturday, do they need a hotel room, do they need meals, do they need travel, whatever to be able to get them here, and are they capable of doing some type of a tour, which there are people on the committee that can give guidance on this. We can give you lists of names and the information. We can give that person the information they need to make those contacts. We can give that person what they need to know, what they need to be asking certain people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
okay.
That's
I'm sorry.
Going. We're trying
I
to
guess.
Figure this all out.
Good question.
Okay.
That was an excellent question.
Jeez. So actually then, I guess my feeling on it is I'd rather have us wait just because it would be nice to get that person on board and see what their skills and potential are, because we really have no idea. I mean,
okay.
We're in the dark
right
now. We haven't heard anybody, haven't interviewed anybody.
Right.
So I would rather see you come back like in August or something like that with the request.
Okay.
Then we know what we have for the individual and what their capabilities are.
Okay.
You know, I hope you understand that a little bit.
And I understand that. My thought was that I knew that the job description had not yet been written and that maybe this should be a consideration in the job description. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't want to look at it in that manner, that's fine. I want to then make the council very aware that one way or another, if we're going to have a Crane Festival in 2013, that this is going to be a necessity from somewhere within the community.
Okay, well, that's good.
Because it is not going to happen with the committee as it stands, and I do not see some miracle person coming and joining the committee that's ready to donate the kind of hours that we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we all know that financially this is something that needs to go on, but we also are going to have to consider where some of this help is going to come from.
Mm-hmm. It's reasonable.
Okay.
Does council want to, somebody want to make a motion, or do we want to leave it as they, we've already done? If we can let it die right now, correct?
Well, we accept the motion for option one.
Oh, okay. So we do need a motion for option one if that's what the council wants to do.
We accept option one.
Just a second here, let me read it for you.
Council's agreement.
Get that up here. Oh, it's pretty long, isn't it? Okay, we have a motion to approve option one. Do I have a second?
Second.
By Dan? Okay. We have a second on the floor. Any more discussion?
I just have one question.
Yeah.
Maintain the mailing list. Is this mailing list something, once we maintain it, that our new park and rec director can use for future activities of the city? Would the Crane Festival have a problem with that? That if we have other activities in the city, that we could use that mailing list to inform them of other activities?
Okay. Over the years, we've had people, when I have been making reservations on the phone, who have specifically said, please don't give my address out. And at that point in time, I was able to say to them, because of where it was, that we would not do that. This mailing list has been on a public computer for the last 12 years. It is public property. There's nothing that the Crane Festival can do to say, don't do that. And if it's a legitimate mailing and it's not one a month or something, I really truthfully don't have a problem with it. We had always said the only ones we would willingly say, here it is if it was another type of birding festival that was trying to get going, because we were able to do that with other festivals. They gave us their mailing list to help get us started. So do I want it given out to just everybody? No. But we can't stop it, and we couldn't have anyway.
There is a protection there that if somebody asks for it under the public records request, we have a statement that they have to sign not for commercial purposes. So we can give it out, but we can't give it out for commercial purposes.
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, it passes.
Thank you.
And I guess we need you to sign an agreement, correct?
Yeah,
we'll get you. Okay, thank you, Dixie, for coming.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, 4.2, Annual Pet Rescue Report. Ken Simmons?
Do you have copies of these in your packets?
Yes,
report?
Yeah.
Do they? Okay. On the report there, this is city dogs only. We're Adams County Pet Rescue, so we do the whole county, but this is strictly city dogs. We just want to make that clear. And Doyle helps. The majority of these are picked up by Doyle, although occasionally we end up having to pick them up if Doyle is on vacation, or the police department will bring these down to the pound. These are dogs that have been through the pound. There was 197 of them in 2011. The county dogs are separated from the city dogs. We still take care of them, but it's not, the city rules don't really apply to those. The total dogs we did last year was 301 dogs. Owners claimed 63. We adopted 152 of those dogs. We transferred 51 out to other rescue areas that maybe specialize in certain kind of dogs. We had 10 deaths through parvo, things like that. Once in a while we get a dog in that has been hit by a car or something, and we can't save it, so it has to be euthanized. Three were euthanized. I don't know exactly why three were, but there was possibly those were injured in accidents or something along that line. We do have dogs stolen from the pound occasionally, and we had four stolen last year. People will climb the fence, take the dog, and just leave. We altered 139 dogs through Broadway Animal Hospital here in town, and 13 cats. Any questions on any of those?
Questions from the council? So basically, everything's going to stay the same, except you're requesting an extra $4,000 in helping the operation.
Yeah, that's the next part we want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Is currently the city's, we have a contract, and we're getting $6,000 a year to do this, perform this service.
Mm-hmm.
Our insurance, liability insurance, is $2,351.75. And our Avista bill, our electric bill for the pound,
wow,
which is heating and lights, is $1,262 last year, which totals $3,614. Of the $6,000, that leaves us with $2,385 to perform these services, which equates to $6.54 a day. That's the reason we're requesting a little more. And we've done this for 3 years. Now we're going on our fourth year. We basically, once the dogs are in the pound, we take care of them from that point on. They have to be there 3 days. After that, they're released to us. We do vet bills. We basically take care of everything at that point. We adopt them out. What we're hoping to do is, instead of spending two-thirds of the money that we get from the city to operate, we're hoping to get that whole $6,000 basically to perform the services for the city. What it does basically is it's taking away from us doing the 104 county dogs. We have to put all the effort into the city dogs, and at $6.54, it just drains our personnel, our funds, everything. I mean, we're a 501(c), so we're a nonprofit group. If we don't have donations and help, we don't operate. So what we're asking for is, the reason we came up with the $4,000 is that's what it costs us just to operate the service for the city. And that's where we came up with that number. So.
Mayor, I had a question.
Yeah.
At looking at your report, then of the dogs that were altered, the 139, are those altered animals out of the cities?
Yes.
The 197?
Yep. We try to keep it completely separate from the county.
Okay. And then how much does the county contribute each year?
We generally get $5,000 from the county. That's in the budget for this year again.
Any other questions?
Is the hard part for us is we really don't have a way to calculate what these services cost, because so much of it is volunteer. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody gets paid anything. So I mean, other than travel time, if we say we take a dog to Seattle to another rescue unit, we try to reimburse the person for taking the animal over there, but nobody gets paid any kind of a wage for any of these services.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
What we're hoping to do is just, like I said, we just want to be able to spend the majority of the money on the animals rather than operating the service legally, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Ken.
Any questions that I can answer?
Doesn't look like it, yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Did you see the second sheet?
Yeah, we have three different sections here we're looking at, so people are having to move back and forth looking at them.
Okay.
So,
well,
which sheet, the additional funding for the pound?
The second sheet just explains what it would cost basically per animal if the city were to take each animal to Moses Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a no-kill operation. We try to find a home for every animal that comes into the city.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Great, thank you.
Pardon? Okay, thank you.
Doyle, I noticed you're here. Did you want to address the council, or you just...
Sure.
It's up to you.
Good evening. I'd like to take a minute and tell you that I support Pet Rescue, what they do down there. They do a fine job. They keep the facility clean. If something's not right, it's taken care of. I think they do a good service for the community. I'd like to go on record as supporting them, what they do.
Great, right, thank you.
Question.
Ken, you want to come back up for a second? One of the council members just came up with a question
just
for you.
Just out of curiosity, do you happen to know what the cost per day right now with the current expenses for the, you said was $6.54 a day? With
that's,
the increase, do you know what it'll
it would,
go up to?
Roughly be about $16, $16 to $17 per day.
$16 to $17 per day?
Per day.
For the manage and operation of the city pound.
And
that's a pretty good deal.
Roughly, it takes, my wife and I both do it on Saturday, and usually it takes probably about a minimum of an hour to do the clean the pound, feed everybody, make sure everybody's taken care of. This, like Wednesday and Thursday, when it was snowing, it's pretty difficult for anybody. I mean,
yeah.
We all volunteer for this, but what we're saying is that we would like to be able to spend the money from the city on the animals rather than insurance and power, just 2/3 of the money that we get. That's what we're trying to increase.
So it'll come up to about $16 a day is what you said.
Yeah.
$16 a day, we couldn't pay anybody to run the pound for $16 a day. That's a pretty darn good deal.
Do you have a motion?
Where's my formal motion?
I don't think there's one in here.
There's not one in here. I'd like to make a motion to
continue the contract.
Continue the contract and grant the increase.
$4,000.
$4,000 to Pet Rescue.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Charles seconded. Any further questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Great. Thank you for coming.
Thank
Ken.
You. We really appreciate it.
Okay, 4.3, well number 6 update. Larry, Terry, and Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. We wanted to take a few minutes and give you a quick update of what's happening with well number 6. After completion of the rehabilitation last year, the city discovered after it had started pumping that there was an excessive vibration in the well. In fact, it was so bad that you could feel it literally in the building next door. So everything was shut down. Contractor was contacted to come out. They did. It happened on a Thursday where this was found. They were out early the next week. And it's like when you take your car to the repair shop, excessive vibration wasn't there. You could feel some vibration, but not as bad as it had been. Well, we worked with the contractor over the ensuing few months when it happened to get them back out here under what's called warranty, because after a job's accepted, they still have 2 years that they have to warrant that the project, the work will be of workmanlike quality, and if anything goes wrong, they have to come back and fix it. So at the first of the month, the subcontractor who actually pulled the pump and motor came back out, and they did the same thing again. They took the motor off of its housing, pulled the pump, the column pipes, all of the ancillary equipment mechanisms out of the hole to find out what we could in an investigation to see just what caused the problem to begin with. And we checked everything as each piece of equipment each stick of pipe was coming out of the well hole. We wanted to make sure that these metal pipes, where they coupled together, were screwed together properly, to make sure that one wasn't loose or that there was a problem with the threading. We wanted to make sure that all the equipment, the tubing, was put together properly. And as the contractor pulled each section out, we checked and pretty much verified that everything had been put together what we consider properly. when they got to the bottom of the equipment, we have what we call bowls. Bowls are what allows the water to pump up the pipe that's in the well hole itself. And basically a bowl looks like a soup bowl with a cup on top of it. And there's space for the water to get in. And there's something called an impeller that turns that basically sucks the water up. And depending upon how many bowl assemblies you have, the more you have, the more water you can pump. Well, the contractor took the bowls that we had on the well to his shop in the Tri-Cities to take them apart just to check them. Because from the outside, they look fine. But once he got into them, he found that these hard metal impellers that twirl and you know, pull the water in, some of them, instead of being straight, were bent, almost bent over, as if something got into the mechanism and hit it, something hard, other than just plain water. Well, we started looking, and in the screen assembly that's at the very bottom of all these bowls, to make sure that we don't get huge chunks of debris sucked up into the pump that could damage it, Terry and his crew found little pieces of gravel, and we're thinking at this time that something has happened in the well hole itself that's either caused a cave-in where the basalt that is porous and allows the water in, somehow there's been a what we call a blowout where a portion of one of the water-bearing zones has sloughed off and caused rock debris to fall into the bottom of the hole and get sucked up into the bowls. Or it's possible that the concrete plug that's in the very bottom of the well hole, something has happened to it where some of that grout has come loose. Now, if you might recall that in order to seal off the very high fluoride-producing zones, we sealed off the bottom about 100 feet of the well and put about a 6 or 8 foot thick concrete plug, and maybe it's more like 4 or 6 foot, concrete plug in the bottom of that hole to prevent water from coming up. We've asked the contractor to get the same company that did the televising of the hole itself during construction to come back out. I haven't heard back from the contractor when that's going to be yet, but we want to be able to do a comparison of videotapes to see if there's any changes, physical changes itself, in the well hole. Right now, in conferring with Public Works, other pump manufacturers, and the contractor, our feeling is that it has the vibration has something to do with damage caused by some sort of a hard object getting into these impellers and damaging them. And the excessive vibration that occurred that when you were out there, Mr. Mayor, could have been when the debris got sucked up into the piping mechanism. And once it was either chopped up or through these impellers, the minor vibration we're still feeling could be caused by the bent over impellers not allowing them to rotate properly. Right now, that's supposition. It's a theory that makes sense, but we won't really know until we examine the well hole to make sure what's going on down there. The second item we wanted to talk about, which actually is a little bit more good news, up until recently, the Department of Health has designated Well 6 as an emergency well, which means the city can't use it on a routine basis, only at times of emergencies. High fire flows, peak production, when the city needs that extra few thousand gallons a minute of flow. The city met with Department of Health recently, and Health has changed the designation of Well 6 to what they call a seasonal well. And the definition of a seasonal well is any source used on a regular basis that is not a permanent or emergency source. kind of vague, but that's how a lot of the regulations are that we deal with. The ramifications of this is the city can use the well 6 at any time now, as long as it's not part of the permanent system. So in other words, we don't have to just wait for an emergency or a high fire flow demand, big fire in town, or when there's a peak need because all the industries are running at the same time. Dan and Terry can put well 6 back into the rotation in the telemetry system so that it's running more constantly, which we believe will help with trying to keep the fluoride levels down as well. Okay. We don't know why health changed their attitude, but it's a plus for the city. Right now, we believe we can pump about 2,000 gallons a minute in the well with the assembly the way it is. Originally, it was closer to a 3,000 gallon a minute well, but because we plugged off that bottom where the high fluoride producing zones were, we also plugged off what we calculate to be about 1,000 gallons a minute of flow. But with the well hole evacuated now, all the parts and pieces of the pump and mechanism apart, we have an opportunity where we may want to look at adding bowls back on so that we can pump more water. When we thought we were limited to 2,000 gallons a minute in an emergency situation, there was no need or no point for it. But now that we can put the well back into service, I don't know if we'll be able to get back up to 3,000 gallons a minute. Chances are, maybe not. Dan and I will probably debate that till we're older. But we certainly will be able to get more water. So one thing we may want to consider as we're looking at putting the well back together is elongating or making the shaft that holds everything together, making it longer, and adding a few more bowls. Don't have a cost at this point, but it's something we could certainly look at.
Council want Larry to look at that? Going back with a cost?
Okay. And with that, we just wanted to apprise you of those two situations, give you a quick update, and see if you have any questions.
You were saying something that about there was a screen in there?
Yes.
To keep bigger chunks? So, but you found smaller chunks down there. So how did, if you're saying some bigger chunks got up there, how did they get up there if there's a screen?
Right now, we don't know. We need to look downhole to see if there is anything in there. One thought is, since there's only small pieces inside the screen mechanism, the screen did its job by keeping the larger pieces out. So in theory, we should be able to see some debris in the bottom of the hole, whether it be a piece of grout or a rock or other large granular piece. And we're talking the difference of maybe a chip versus a chunk of gravel or concrete, maybe the size of half the size of the mouse. So relatively speaking, it's not that large, and it's something that could, if it's small enough, get through the slots in the screen. But that's a good question though, Mark.
Okay, what's the clearance between the impellers and the side of the bowl, wherever it runs? You know, I mean, is it, you know, like several thousandths or?
Yeah, just.
Like a half inch or a quarter inch or something like that?
Thousands. I don't know, Dan, would you pat it off the top of your head?
No, they have total well movement on molds, but you're talking less than a quarter inch at best. But gravel it before they bottom out against the upper.
It wouldn't have to be too big a rock.
No, that's true. Which begs the question, if something did get up into the mechanism, I think we're fortunate that it didn't damage the pump more than it appears it's happened now. Plus, what happened to it? Did it go out into the system? I don't think there's been any complaints from citizens around the well house that there's their water service. They've noticed a drop off in pressure, which if there was debris, it might get into the screen in their faucet, or it might bung up their water meter. And to date, we haven't heard anything like that.
Well, didn't that well go through many hours of testing.
Oh, yeah.
And pumping out water.
Yes.
To the lagoon before it was even put into the system. Mm-hmm. And that was nice.
Yeah. The crew has a real good telemetry system, and Dan's got the total hours, but there were considerable. It was considerable.
Any other questions for Larry?
Okay.
Yeah.
Larry, Terry dug out a bunch of small rocks and things, and it's in a plastic bag. Would that be? Could we share that with the council so you can see what we're talking about physically?
You can see a couple small chips of what we call granular or gravel material. There were some real fine metal shavings. The piece of what looks like plastic with the writing on it had a kind of a greasy feel to it, which we think was part of the pipe dope that was used when they threaded the or unthreaded the couplings together. So a little excess of material fell down through the hole. Wouldn't hurt anything because it's safe for potable water, but it would end up in the bottom of the screen.
So where we stand right at the moment, we really have we found anything, any warranty issues to really speak of?
If the concrete plug at the bottom of the hole has started to chip away, that is a warranty item. If there's been a blowout, a portion of the well hole has collapsed, I think it'd be hard pressed to say to the contractor that was their fault. But before any decisions are made, we'll want to review all of the data, come back to council, discuss it with you again.
Okay. Any more questions for Larry? Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Terry and Dan, did you want to address the council or?
As public works staff, we'd like to council to consider putting the lower four bowls back on this well so that we can pump a little more GPM, maybe possibly mix a little better water with some of that high fluoride water, come out a little lower. The history behind this well, from what I can gather, I don't think that it's going to be capable of running down there in the threes. It's been in the low fours. I think it tested at 4.37. The last time we ran it, which is equivalent to 12 days, 290 hours, ended up at 5.1. Now, Dan, I brought Dan, our certified water operator. He has a little more information that he can contribute to water height and all that stuff. So I'll turn that over portion over to him.
Okay, just a second, Terry. Question for you. How fine is that screen? What size is the
openings? Those rocks you got right there, I didn't take any tools to pull that out. I just reached in there with my fingers and pulled it through.
Oh, really? Okay.
So they're, you can get them stuck through. They're probably 3/8 of an inch. It's big enough to suck up that poly tube that we had wrapped up in the well prior to when we pulled it out. So it's about 3/8 of an inch. It's a stainless steel screen.
So to have a, to mess up those impellers like that, can that happen off that small of pebbles?
I don't know.
What do you think, Larry? I mean, that house was vibrating.
If it happened just at the time that whatever material was being sucked up into the bowls and hitting the impellers, yes, I think so. It could have caused the vibration. Could we, if we try to cause that to happen again, I would say probably not. If anything, it's that one shot, one fluke time that this has occurred. And the fact that somebody was able to realize what was happening and save future damage from happening was, they say it's maybe a blessing in disguise.
So like a large, like a cave, and a large group of those pebbles went shooting up all of a sudden. Okay, just curious. Dan, did you have any questions or comments or?
Whatever questions you guys have for us.
The impellers are, my way of knowing is they're a brass impeller. They're probably a red brass. They're built up and turned on a lathe. And so to bend them wouldn't take a great deal of an object, you know. The reason it bowed over, I have no idea. Unless we can find that had a cave-in, I can't see how chewing up some rocks would have caused that level of vibration that we discovered. But I can't say it didn't either. So it just doesn't seem practical. I've seen impellers chewed to bits and never noticed any vibrations on to that level. But we can't discover it. So far, we haven't discovered what has caused it, so I don't know. The runtime to waste was 39 hours. Out of the 290 hours that it ran several hours, I don't have that right off, but it ran several hours after we discovered the vibration. Lane Pump and Holt came up and we inspected the well, we ran it to waste, we ran it on the system. They felt the vibration was manageable or runnable at that point and allowed us to continue to run it through September because of the high water demand that we had at the time. So, and it didn't get any worse. We monitored it regularly. It didn't get any worse. As a matter of fact, it seemed to get better. So I have a real wonderment as what occurred. The only thing in my mind that sticks out is maybe a cave-in that shoved on the shaft. At this point, with no physical damage, real damage to the metal of the piping and the shaft that I see in there. So until we video the hole or find something more obvious, I just don't have a clue.
In your expertise, is it common for a well to be vibrating? I don't know.
Light
vibration? I don't know.
Yeah, they all shake and rattle. You've got a 900 horse turning a shaft that's 600 and some feet long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get some vibration out of any heavy motor like that. You experience the vibration you could feel in your feet and watch the windows rattle, and that was far and above and beyond what we've ever experienced before. So what we had at the end in September when we quit having the need to run it was more like, it was a little on the high side of vibration, but it was closer to a normal run. So I just don't, at this point, have any idea. If we don't discover a cave-in there that caused a misalignment to the shaft and the column, caused that to vibrate so violently, then I just don't have a clue.
All the spiders were intact?
All the spiders were good, which I honestly expected to see some spiders blowed up. And the spider is a round ring with three legs to the center holding a rubber bushing. And that rubber bushing is the bearing that holds the shaft steady in the center of the pipe. And in a water lube, the water comes down alongside that and keeps it lubricated. We had two out of the whole assembly that were froze to the shaft. And that could have been in the difference between the static water level and the surface. That, in our case, is around 400 feet of air, if you would, before you get to the water. So our pre-loop water has to come and cascade down over all of these spiders and lubricate them prior to starting. Once the well is running, as the water column comes up, then they're underwater the whole time. So it's only during startup that you'd have a dry run, if you would. So we had two that were froze to the bearing surface, or the shaft, right where the bearing would be. Two that were stuck, that they couldn't just slide off. But other than that, the spiders appeared to be in good shape, and other than those two bearings, those two rubber bushings, not sliding off the shaft. So evidently they had gotten hot or something.
Any other questions?
Get it fixed.
Dan, could you speak to your opinion on should we add more holes or not? And the
yes.
Static level of the well, how far it comes down or not?
Okay. And when we started this, we started it on 718 and we had 273 feet of water. We measure it by a druck or a sensor probe that we run down the well. We had 273 feet. The day of the vibration, it had been running for 3 days, three full days. We had done all our 40 hours of running to waste and all the starts. But we put it on Monday morning. But anyway, on the 22nd, we had 243 feet of water. Back when we used to have this pump at 3,100 gallons a minute, we had gotten down to as low as 90 feet of water, and it would just hang in there. So it's my opinion that we're not taxing this hole near enough. At 243, and the worst it got down to was 237 feet of water. And that's through September. That's through our peak seasonal usage time, you know, with the plants running and the hot weather performing. So I think it's my opinion that we have plenty of water in the hole. The four bowls, the 1,000 gallons a minute that we lost, we may not get all back, but we have the bowls. They're in pristine shape. They're brand new. They got run very little before they were removed. So now it's a case of making a longer shaft to hang these four bowls back on and the labor to do that. So because we have the material, because we've experienced such a little drawdown on this thing, I think it'd be safe to say we could run this at the higher level output.
That'd be nice. That'd be real nice. Any other questions for Dan? Well, thank you very much for coming tonight.
You bet. Thank you.
Nice to hear we have lots of water down there.
And grill.
Well, we'll see that. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to 4.4, consideration of modification to Ashwood Notch Development Agreement. Daryl?
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Daryl Piercy, city planner for the record. You have a request before you for consideration of modification to the Ashwood Notch Development Agreement. The development agreement, for those who may not be fully familiar with this process, is actually a process that's allowed under state law, and in this case it was adopted in conjunction with the Ashwood Notch plat back in 2007. The development agreement at that time was adopted for a period of 5 years. And so it will actually expire in September of 2012, of this year. The original development agreement in plat was done in conjunction with a gentleman by the name of Ed Greer. And he has been the representative of the Ashwood Notch development up to this point. He is now in the process of transferring that ownership to a local developer, Pete Olson, who does business here as Olson Homes. Mr. Olson has proposed, as you can see in your packet, a modification to the existing development agreement in two ways. The first being he's requesting an extension of the development agreement for an additional 5 years. It's important to note that there's been no development on the site up to this point. So the last 4.5 years we've seen no development, although there has been some activity in regards to previous modifications to the phasing plan. The second element of the request for Mr. Olson is to revise the phasing plan as it currently is adopted. There are currently four phases within the phasing plan. And you may recall that several years ago, back in 2009, the plan was actually modified from three phases to four phases, and the first phase being substantially scaled back. And it was being proposed at the time by Mr. Greer that such a phasing plan would make it more economically viable for him to move forward with the development. And of course, we all know what happened in some cases to the housing and finance market about that same time, and it just simply did not move forward. We do have a new owner now that is preparing to move forward. He has revised, requesting a revision to the phasing plan that would actually increase the number of lots that would be created as an element of phase one, which is, from our perspective, a better approach by doing more up front. It begins to increase the infrastructure that's in the ground and really demonstrates a commitment to the overall project. So staff has reviewed this with the applicant. We have gone through the issues that would affect any circulation with Public Works. We feel that this plan is very workable from the phasing that's being proposed. You should also be aware that under state law for development agreements, the development agreements can extend to a period of 15 years. So the five-year extension would still be well within the time frame that's allowed under state law for for a development agreement of this type. And in general, the development agreement really was brought forward in this application to implement the elements of the phasing plan. So it really is a mechanism that the phasing plan could be developed and implemented, and we really have not had a chance to see it develop in that fashion. So the extension would allow the developer in this case to move forward. Be happy to respond to any questions. We also have Mr. Olson here this evening if you have any questions of him in regards to his future plans for the site. And I will end it at that.
Questions from council? Pete, did you want to address council or just fine as it is?
I'm just here for
if you have
any questions. Okay. Mayor, I might add that this request is specific to the development agreement. There are other areas in the plat that we will be bringing forward at a later date through a replatting process that may request some variations to the plat as it's currently approved. But that's a different issue, and it will be brought forward to the council at a later date. But I don't want you to be surprised if we do come forward with the issues involving the plat that are actually different than the issues involving the development agreement. So they're two separate paths and two separate processes that would be required to go through. So for tonight, we're just looking at the issue of the development agreement, both the time frame and the phasing plan.
Thank you, Darrell. So do I hear a motion to modify the development agreement for Ashwood Notch by extending the time period an additional 5 years and implementing the revised phasing plan as presented?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Gina first.
Second.
Ken Johnson second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. And then that passes. I'd like to thank you, Pete, for having an interest in the community of building homes like that, because you're sure filling a need that we have here. And even in Ashwood 7, we were just looking. Because of Ashwood 7, a lot of the money the city gets is off value of the city. That brought an extra $53,000 in taxes to the city. Now, you don't think about that as Pete's out there working and getting all this done, but as he's making the city worth more money, it helps us help finance us at the same time. So thank you very much for your hard work that you're doing out there. It's definitely meeting a need. Okay, 4.5, renewal of electrical systems contract with Burke's Refrigeration. Terry?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight I'm here to ask for approval of our contract with Burke's Refrigeration. Burke's Refrigeration currently does our electrical work for our wells, traffic lights, and City Hall. Last year's contract was at $70 an hour. There's been a slight increase to $75 an hour for this year's. Staff's recommendation to council is to approve the contract with Burke's Refrigeration for the annual.
Any questions for Terry?
They're updated on all our new technology for the lights and everything, right?
Correct. Right. Yes.
Okay, so do I hear a motion to move to renew the agreement with Burke's Refrigeration for 2012?
So moved.
Dan first?
Second.
Okay, Mark second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. That passes. Thank you, Terry. Okay. 4.6. Let me get there real quick. Come on. Election of Mayor Pro Tem. It's not going. Pro Tem. It's not moving. Yours doing the same thing?
Yours working? Oh, never mind. It just went.
Okay.
Just
went.
Yeah, I don't have one.
Should I do it right? Go to the bottom, or this is how to do this? We got to make sure we do this right.
Oh, okay.
There's a,
here we go.
Okay. I would like to call for nominations. All nominations should have a second, or they die. And after I receive all the nominations, then I will call for a vote. Do I have any nominations for Mayor Pro Tem?
I nominate Ken Johnson.
Okay, Ken second. Johnson. Who seconded?
Second.
Dan seconded? Okay, we have a first and a second on that one. Do we have anybody else?
Oh. Move nomination be closed.
Okay. This is going to make it easy. All in favor of Ken Johnson, right? Am I doing that right? Okay. Okay, we need a time period.
Have to be a term.
Also, since we just have Ken here, we've been doing it as a yearly deal. Does the council want to remain at that? Or do they want to get 2 years, 3 years? It's up to you.
Yearly.
I think
yearly's good.
Yearly?
Good.
Would it be good?
1 year.
Okay, do I have a nomination then to have Ken Johnson as Mayor Pro Tem for the year 2012, 1 year only? We got a first and a second. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Good, that was easy. Cool. Let me see if I can get this thing to work. Still not moving. Okay. Let's see if I can find it. Is yours up, Dan? You got it coming?
Committee list.
Yeah.
Right there.
If you go to the list, it has all the. Okay, good. Okay, because we have a new council member, Eugene. Do some of the council members want to move from the committees they're in? Or do you like where you're at right now? This is an opportunity to do some shifting around if you want to.
Just move Eugene into Mark's spot and move on.
Okay, move it back to the top. Okay, I want to make sure Eugene's comfortable with this. So are you on that page, Eugene? Where it shows the committee list?
Oh.
You have the first one's Adams County City Biennial Fire Council. That's twice a year, June and October. Is that where it is an evening? That works for you? Okay. Where's the next one?
Oh, it's the same one.
We'll find the next one. Okay. Auditing committee. Gina, you want to move up into Mark's, or Mark Snyder, you want to move up and have three people? It's a little bit more difficult. You'd have to come right in almost every meeting that we have and go through the bills before, during the daytime. Mm-hmm. So you can ask the department heads if you have questions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So do you want to be like the alternate, and we'll move Mark up. Does that work for you, Mark? So we have three people to call to make sure we get two people here to approve the bills. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Where's another one? One more, there it is. Pool committee. Can we do that one? Eugene, that'd be all right?
Actually, Eugene, I'll swap you that one for the Adams County Community Network. That one's at night, all the time.
Yeah, the pool committees usually are noon. Usually they meet. Does that make a difference to you? Or?
No, that's fine.
Okay, so we'll move Charles into pool committee. And Eugene to Adams County, what was it called?
Community Network.
Community Network. You have that written down? Okay.
Right.
Okay, there it is. Okay, great. Is there any others we missed? Am I missing one here? I guess that's everybody then, right? Okay, great.
Oh, you swapped. Okay.
Okay, we're good. That was easy.
Long way.
All right, well, thank you, everybody.
Councilmember Kaler remains the same as he asked for.
Yeah, nobody wanted to change or anything, so the only thing we're doing is a few things with Gene and Charles on the one.
I think if the one was there in the day, tonight's probably going to be better for him.
Okay. Okay. Come on. Let's see if this will work now. Oh, that time it went. Huh. Cool. 4.8, resolution to establish compliance with the Federal Fair Housing Act. Amen.
City Council has a resolution before you that establishes compliance with the Fair Labor Housing Act, which is basically a non-discrimination policy. Part of the process, and because we've received federal funds, we have to have a Fair Housing Act policy. Part of the process is that we notify all the local realtors of the policy. We had that mailing list and we sent it to them. That City Council passed a resolution. And a third step is that we must advertise and post our policy around the city and in the newspaper, which we will do if the council adopts the resolution. So we would ask that enable the city to continue with the federal funds for our Moon Street project, that you adopt the resolution.
Questions? Do I hear a motion to move to pass a resolution to establish compliance with the Federal Fair Housing Act?
Move compliance with the Federal Fair Housing Act.
Okay. Dan was first.
Resolution.
Okay, Charles is second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same. Okay, that passes.
Ah.
All right, resolution to surplus equipment. Eamon?
Thank you, Mayor. The Chamber of Commerce has, for a number of months, indicated the need for a computer. I asked in our IT section if we had a computer that would match the needs, and it was identified. Yes, we did. So two things need to occur tonight if the council agrees with surplusing this computer. One is that you identify it as surplus for the resolution that you have in front of you. And then today our city attorney indicated that to do this with the chamber, we must sell it for fair market value. We have a study, a brief study that was done for computers of like capacity. One was $85.49 and the other one that was found was $110. So I would ask that council also authorized the sale of the computer for $100 to the chamber, which the chamber has agreed to do. So we only need two motions.
Okay, any further questions? So I hear a motion to what? Oh.
Surplus.
To surplus the city computer. We have to do that first.
Second.
Okay, Gina first, Mark second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now do I hear a motion to sell that surplus computer to the fellow Chamber of Commerce for $100?
So moved.
Eugene first, okay. And Dan second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, opposed the same? Great, that passes. And we have Sean Logan, president of the chamber this year here. Did you want to address the council or introduce somebody, whatever?
First of all, I want to thank the council. The Chamber of Commerce wants to bring ourselves into the new century, and this new computer will help us tremendously. And also, the chamber has hired a new manager, and she's here today with us. Angela Anderton, I'd like to have her introduce herself to the council and tell her a little bit about you guys, or tell her about herself.
Hi, Mayor. Hi, Council. Good evening. I'm Angela Anderton. I moved to Othello about 3 years ago. One of the things I love the most about Othello is the Little League parade. All my kids are in it every single year. I came for the first time to Othello for the 4th of July celebration, and I fell in love with this town and hurried up and got myself and my children ready to move over here. I'm really excited to be working as manager for the Othello Chamber of Commerce, and would like to thank you all for allowing us to purchase this computer, which will help us tremendously in allowing us to be more productive and to look forward to working with the city and the businesses and the other organizations in this town to make Othello a better place and to let everybody know how much we love Othello and share that love with everyone else. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Looking forward to what you'll be doing. So, Sean, did you have another? Are you?
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you also for taking up the reins down there, and looking forward to seeing what happens this year. So, okay, unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business? Okay, new business? Okay, I'd like to bring up something for new business. Eugene and I went to elected officials workshop at the beginning of January, and one of the things that was brought up that caught my attention, and I was sitting at the table with the mayor from Quincy, which is using this also, is they have a committee to review elected officials' compensation. And I know that's been discussion off and on here by some of the council members. So to do that, it sounds like the way we do it, visiting with Eamon, is I'd like to find five citizens. There is no council member on this committee. To review, you know, what the council's making, and I don't know what else is all involved in it. We'll find out as we go along. But to review that and then come back to the council with a recommendation, if they have one. There may not be. I don't know. But is that something that the council is interested in doing, having me do?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I started.
That's what we're compensation, yes. So.
I said decrease, not increase.
Who knows?
You get the wrong five people, we're doing this for free.
So is that something you're interested in or not? So that's the question I have to the council. So
I don't know if Eamon has shared it with everybody else, but I brought this up, and he did some research around to find out what cities around town will pay around here we're paying, and you know, I mean, it's from one end of the spectrum to the other. There are some that are paying, I think, maybe a little excessive, but then there are a couple of cities, I think it's Ephrata, that doesn't pay anybody anything, so look out.
Hey, I don't stay here for the
but
money,
then, you know, we got a resignation form. So, yeah. But I kind of brought that up, and I talked to somebody here not long ago and said, you know, I think we passed this thing like 9 or 10 years ago. We've been paying the same amount of money all those years. And the amount of time that's required, and my feeling about it is, if you're not going to raise the money that's paid by the month, we need to take a look at the possibility of paying people who go to meetings. For example, let's take Mark over here. He goes to a meeting up in Ritzville for something that the city's involved in. I don't think Roger's paying his salary when he's up there. So maybe I'll at least compensate him a few bucks for the time he spends. And that's one thing that several of the different councils do, is they pay like $25 a meeting for a maximum of 7 meetings a year. And I don't think that's unreasonable at all. So, but I'm the one that brought it up, so.
No, I agree with you. I don't see anything wrong with being compensated for leaving your work and losing wages and that type of stuff. It happens a lot.
And if you talk to people who do these kind of things, at least, you know, how many people call you on the phone, you know, or catch you when you're downtown? It's not just the time you spend here. It's the time you spend with your tick constituents that makes a lot of difference, you know, and so I if we change it, I guess probably won't do us any good until we get reelected. I'm not sure. They may have changed the law on that too. But anyway, so that's where I am with it.
So I have a nod from everybody, it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then that makes sense. That'd be great.
Yeah, like I said, as far as council's not involved in something like this, so that's something I've learned about it anyway. Am I right, Catherine? We'll select 5 citizens, we thought, from the community.
You can have whomever you want on the committee. It's just that whatever action the council takes as a result of the committee recommendation won't apply to any of the city council members until you're reelected.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not binding. Any recommendation they make binding? No.
Okay. No.
Like I said, I don't do it for the money, but I don't believe you should wait
until. Okay. Any other new business? Yes.
Terry's gone. I had a couple of people comment about how well the streets were taken care of and how quickly they got plowed and how hard the staff worked getting that done. And if nothing else that he doesn't, you know, if we had a letter from the council thanking them for the work that they did and get a chance for each of us to sign it and get it sent off to those people, because they worked their tails off getting all that stuff done odd hours, and the streets were good. I heard the other day that Kennewick finally got around on Friday evening or something like that to plow some of the side streets, period. You know, and ours have been done since when it was snowing. So. Mm-hmm. I would like to see that happen from the council.
Great, yeah. Eamon will put a letter together and inform you when it's ready so you can come in and sign it. It's a good idea. Thanks, Dan. Any other new business? Okay, next, council will adjourn into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.1101I to discuss legal counsel on potential litigation. The session is expected to last about 15 minutes. So, and Eamon will have everybody leave, but just the council and our attorney. Catherine will stay. And thank you, everybody. And we're not expecting to make any decisions. There will be no decisions made during this.